Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
From smoke and carbon monoxide detectors to fire extinguishers and more, Hitta Home Safety Products keep your family protected in case of emergencies. Did you know that your detectors need to be replaced every 5 to 10 years? Hitta detectors feature enhanced sensing technology that reduces false alarms and fast alerts for more time to get out safely. Visit us in-store or on Menards.com and shop our great selection of Hitta safety products.
Save big money at
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
Was the murder a gift? That's the big question that, who would ever call it a gift? Well, I think you guys did a lot. Maybe not directly. Maybe you didn't kill him thinking, hey, this is Harvey's birthday present. But you sure were callous enough to kind of make jokes about it after the fact. Not necessarily Wendy, but let's take a look at this clip and her recounting of that.
Oh, stand by 1 second.
Okay.
He's still stuck on the guinea pig thing. So give Todd just a little second here to get this rolling.
It's interesting the way that it's been looked at.
Was the murder of Dan Markell your dad's big gift?
I mean, that's, of course not. That's a horrible thing to say.
What about the grandchildren, getting full unfettered access to the grandchildren.
My parents have been the full unfettered access to their grandchildren always.
Not when they lived in Tallahassee.
Well, whenever they could come up and see them, they did.
They were 50% of the time with Dan Markell, right?
Sure, but whenever they were with me, they had full unfettered access.
On the occasion that we're talking about Dad's birthday, was that one of the times that when you came back to Tallahassee, your parents rode with you and then rented a car and drove home in the rental car?
It was.
And how long a drive is that?
It's about 7 hours.
During that 7-hour trip, or at any time when you were in South Florida, was there any discussion of a murder at all?
No, absolutely not.
Any discussion of what to do about Dan?
No.
Any further discussion about bribing, converting to Christianity, any of those strategies?
No, that ship had long sailed.
Any discussion on that trip about the pending motion to preclude your mom from having contact with the kids?
No.
What was wrong with the TV that was repaired the morning of the murder?
I think one of my boys might have thrown something at it. There was like a little crack in the TV.
How long had the TV been broken at the time that it got repaired?
I honestly don't remember.
Could it have been a long time, quite a long time?
No, it could have been. I mean, I would be completely speculating. I don't remember how long it was broken for.
Do you remember who repaired the TV?
Yes, it was called the Geek Squad.
Yeah. Everyone, you can't repair a TV that has a crack like that on it.
No, trash it and get a new one.
It's trash. Do you find it odd that she can't remember just basic details about her TV being broken?
That is a bit odd, yeah, because I mean, I would think you would be able to say at least, you know, months or weeks or days, you would have some kind of sense. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I have a TV right now. It's an Amazon Fire TV, and it's been malfunctioning. It's brand new. I can tell you everything about it that's happened over the last couple of days in great detail because it legit happened. Mm-hmm. So it's not broken. It's not cracked.
I would just think, I mean, it seems like that's an odd detail not to remember basic
correct.
Things about.
Mm-hmm. Probably because like, it never happened.
I mean, well, it's broken. It was broken. But I do, but, what I'm wondering is why do you not remember any details about it? Or how does this, it feels like it ties into this in some way, shape, or form in a way that Wendy doesn't want to talk about. I mean, and I know she went, maybe one of my kids threw something at it. Like, mm-hmm. yeah, or maybe you threw something at it. Maybe you punched it. Maybe you hit it. Maybe you chucked something. Because look, if you're really pissed off at your family for murdering your ex-husband and now you're in the middle of this shit show for the rest of your life, yeah, I'd probably chuck something at my TV. I mean, I'm not a violent person. I don't think I've ever thrown anything in anger. But I think that I might take this cup here if I was accused of that, and it might go into a screen if I was living the life of that family that constantly dug their hole deeper at every which direction they could go. And you're like, are you all this dumb? Are you all this fucking stupid?
And that's what I was getting at, is that there must have been some moment that caused this. Yeah. Something,
yeah.
Some triggering moment that just made shit explode around her.
So what if she is the unwitting beneficiary here? I mean, even if Wendy didn't know, the result was the same. Dan's dead, and the relocation battle is over. She benefited from her family's actions, whether she wanted to or not. So how does someone, again, this is now kind of switching gears to the if she didn't know, how does someone live with the fact that their deepest, I mean, I don't want to say deepest wish, I don't know what her deepest wish is, but was a desire at some way, shape, or form to come true. If we're assuming that she did want to move down there, it would be easier to have her family buy and blah, blah, blah. But through a murder that you never asked for, I mean, what does that do to your sense of guilt, even if you're innocent of it?
Right. And that was one of the things in the testimony that she said was, what could she have done to prevent it? And I think if she didn't know, that would be the kind of thing that's going on and on in your head. Perhaps I should never have tried to get a divorce. You know, should I have handled things mm-hmm. differently? Should I have not tried to relocate? You know, and that would be, if you didn't know, that would all be a normal response, going over and over and over all the what ifs.
That is true. You did point that. That's a good thing that you pointed out there. Where what if I did would have done this differently? What if I didn't get that? I mean, because she does identify that a few times of maybe if I just didn't get the divorce, maybe none of this would have happened. Yeah. I mean, not to say you shouldn't get divorced if you're in a really unhappy situation, but yeah, I mean, maybe if your family, and I wonder what the deeper meaning is to that too. What if I didn't get divorced? Does that mean you didn't want to get divorced? Or does that mean what if your family didn't talk you into getting divorced? Mm-hmm. Because that's what we learned in the latest trial was she might not have done it if it wasn't for Charlie and it wasn't for mom putting all that pressure and painting Dan as this really horrible, icky person, you know, and then she gets divorced. It was there. Mm-hmm. Let's take a look at another clip here. This is another very interesting one, another revelation that came out in Charlie's trial about Charlie knowing the killer and how, what kind of gymnastics, I guess, Wendy is playing in her mind to make this all work out where she's got nothing to do with this. Let's take a look.
All the years this has been pending.
In all of the years this has been pending.
Your brother has known who killed your child's father, and you didn't know.
I did not know.
Do you know why Catherine McBanawal was on the payroll at the Adelson Institute?
I believe that she worked there.
What did she do there?
I know my brother met her at a dental office, so I'm guessing administrative work of some kind.
Did you ever observe her doing administrative work there?
No.
How did the killers in this case know that Dan Markell was planning to leave town the day after the killing?
I have no idea.
You knew he was planning to leave town the next day, didn't you?
I did, yes.
Did you convey that information to anyone?
Absolutely not.
To your knowledge, did your brother have that information?
I don't know why he would have known that.
So if the killers were told it has to be done today because he's leaving town tomorrow, we don't know how they knew that.
I have no idea how they knew that.
But it would have to come from someone familiar with Dan Markell's schedule, wouldn't it?
they would have to find out somehow. I don't know how.
Prior to Dan Markell's murder, when were you last in South Florida? Was it this trip that's pictured here?
No, because it was my dad's 70th birthday in early July, so I would have gone down to celebrate his birthday.
Okay, when's dad's birthday?
July 5th.
How long were you down there for that July 5th trip?
I don't really remember offhand, but my guess is about a week.
Did you see Charlie Adelson on that trip?
Yes. We celebrated my dad's birthday, the whole family and friends, everybody.
Did you see Catherine Magdanoa on that trip?
There's a lot of, and I'm noticing this kind of hard, how dare you attitude with some questions that are flying at her. And, you know, I know with a lot of narcissists, a big issue with them is, you know, it's how dare you insult me? Disrespecting. Disrespect. Mm-hmm. They don't like being disrespected. It's a big key mm-hmm. point in that seemingly of a mindset. When you call them out on obvious shit, you get the, mm-hmm. We see it in Donna a lot. Mm-hmm. I see like mini versions of it in Wendy. And I'm not saying she's lying. But is Wendy a really shitty liar?
Well, I thought this was one of the more damning clips that I've seen.
Yeah.
Because not knowing anything about what Catherine did, how she was involved, it's really strains credibility.
She feels like she's overacting in a lot of these. There's a rhythm to Wendy. Again, this is my conjecture. She's not been charged with anything. She's innocent until proven guilty. But again, as the attorney said, stay tuned. The fact that she reacts the way she does, do you notice her cadence? How when she's questions about things, she isn't talking like baby girl voice, but she gets really, I don't know. And she kind of has this little colloquial, it almost sounds northern, like accent. Like, oh, I don't know. I don't know.
Hey,
not part of her normal cadence. That's the point. It's not normal talk for her. I don't know how anyone would do that. I don't know. It's a shift. Into like, how can you look at me? Do you catch that? Or is it me just like watching this way too much?
No, I think it's a subtlety. But when it's almost like we all have little mini, we're not all multiple personalities, but we've got these little personas, you know, the masks that we wear and voices, way of speaking. My husband accuses me of whining when I want him to make me food. He goes, "You're using your little girl voice. Please, you know, would you do it?" He does all the cooking here because he likes it and I don't. So when I'm hungry, I beg him for food. And he said, and I'm not aware I'm doing it, you know. But
you're
I think,
a cat using your sweet little.
Yeah. So I think it is probably something that all people do. They do a switch depending on what's happening with their mood.
Yeah, I mean it's manipulation, but it's what we do because we do. I mean, life is manipulation to a certain extent. I mean, going from point A to point B. It's not all evil, but yeah, there are certain things that people do, and it seems Wendy. I don't know how conscious she is of the
Probably
way that she
not.
Presents.
Probably not. Mm-hmm.
Let's watch another clip here. This is another interesting one. This is about Donna. Talking to Wendy, and this was talked about in the last trial, but this was also talked about in Charlie's trial, about how Donna really has to give the performance of a lifetime to keep everybody on the up and up, to keep the family safe, to keep the story straight, to keep everybody out of prison. Weird thing to say to somebody if you just want them to tell the truth. Let's take a look.
You need to be a good actress or you can be a good actress when you want to. I've seen you in action. You need to put on the performance of your life. Gibbers hasn't beaten the Adelson family yet. Who's Gibbers?
Gibbers, she's referring to Danny.
And was Gibbers a name he went by or just something you called him behind his back?
Gibbers was a silly nickname that I gave him during the divorce proceedings when he was being pretty scary and threatening, and it kind of made me feel less scared of him.
Okay, so not something you called him to his face.
No.
But that was a word that was only used to describe him.
Yes, it was a nickname.
Okay. So in this, again, your mom is referencing how everyone's life is being affected by this relocation, including your brother, Charlie. Do you agree with that?
That is what she said, yes.
All right. Is your mom overprotective of you?
Yes.
All right. And is it fair to say she's, you know, a little on the controlling side?
I don't think she's controlling, but she's definitely overprotective.
Did she ever try to micromanage your life?
Maybe, yeah.
Did she have an interest in who you were dating and who you weren't dating and who you should be dating when you were single?
I think she was usually disappointed that I wasn't dating more.
Okay. For example, isn't it true that she would like not let you drive to and from Tallahassee to South Florida?
Well, I used to drive before I had the boys, but they were young and she preferred to come with me and give me some extra support.
So what would that look like if you were going to take a trip to South Florida? Would they come up here and get you or?
No, sometimes I would go myself with the kids, but I was breastfeeding both of them. So it usually looked like me breastfeeding a child while I entertained the other in the Okahumka rest stop. So okay. It was a lot. It was helpful to have some backup.
I mean, I get, you know, and sometimes in life it is nice to have that extra backup. Even if you are an adult, having a parent or somebody come with you and help you in certain things, in certain situations, it's great. But it doesn't seem to be the dynamic here. It seems to be normalizing over-controlling behavior. And when it was thrown out there, you know, did she micromanage your life? And Wendy's big pause.
Pause.
Mm-hmm. And then... I don't know if I call it that. Mm-hmm. Was it embarrassment that she's embarrassed to admit that she is? Was it a shame that she's embarrassed that her mom is this way in her life at this age? Or is she completely ignorant to it? I mean, what was that?
Yeah, I think the pause was, how do I say this? Because my mother's sitting right there.
Yeah.
And still that dynamic of needing to take care of mother. That's so ingrained in her, you know, and only maybe partial awareness of how abnormal mom's behavior was, because yeah. It's really, really obvious that she micromanaged. And I think that pause was, okay, shit, how do I give something that's a legitimate answer here without upsetting mom? Probably.
Do you think it was fear-based as well, that she's afraid? She knows what her mother can do if you piss this woman off? Because if you have one of these enmeshed families, oh, you know what they're capable of because you've yes. seen it. And they operate yep. out of fear. So she's yep. sitting there going, oh, I got to toe the line here. I could go to jail. My brother could go to jail. But this bitch over here, my mom, she could make my life a living hell. So I'm almost more afraid of her than I am
100%. 100%. I think you nailed it. That was my response, is that pause is because shit, mom is listening. Yeah.
Do you think Donna Adelson breastfed her children into their teen years?
Tony.
And the follow-up, do you think she visits Charlie in prison and still performs this?
There was actually a case in England of a woman. No. I mean, I saw it on YouTube, and I think the kids were 9 and 10.
Oh, my God.
And she was still breastfeeding and had a whole rationalization why this was a healthy thing, and I was just holding my head. So I did recommend, though, I recommended that video to clients who were over-managing their kids or had a parent that was over-managing them. I said, there's a video I want you to see, and I'm not saying that this is literally what's happening, but I think that there's a message here for you. And people were, it was yeah. an effective therapy intervention. People were so shocked by it. They said, whoa, I get it now.
Because it's not like you're doing it to nurture the child at that point. Oh. It's completely psychological. So whatever factors may be playing in there could be applicable in other areas. I get mm-hmm. how that would make some sense.
Yeah.
You got to send me that video.
No, I'll look for it. No.
No, that's... Oh,
It's weird. And it was a legitimate, like a news yeah. show. It wasn't somebody's kinky weirdo video. It was like, was like, here's an interesting story for,
well, now he doesn't, want it, Siobhan, if it's not kinky or anything like that.
No, yeah. That's not the, that's not what I was going. I'm kidding.
Siobhan's YouTube history, actually.
it's all over the place. Well,
just look at the Steph Siobhan post. I'm sure it's crazy. I mean, it's I love your post, Siobhan, but they're always like, so like, oh, this, you'd be get some weird things if you were searching this stuff out, but it's always very like mind opening and very accurate. I love Siobhan's post.
Well, and I sent you one last week about the guy who was sexually aroused by amputation.
Oh, yes.
Getting amputated. And I said, this may be one of the weirdest paraphilias, but it does exist.
And I said, wasn't that a plot on a recent show? Wasn't that an Ozark or something? And you didn't see it.
I didn't see it.
Did Todd, Stacey, ever watch Ozark? Does anybody recall? No. There was a show, there was a recent drama recently where that was kind of the subplot towards the end of the series. And there was this at the end of the day, like the guy is like, he didn't have arms or legs. And it was all about the, I forgot what it was. It was messed up though. Anyway, that was somebody out there, maybe in chat, knows what I'm talking about. I can't think of what show it was. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about Wendy for a second here in present tense in today. I mean, this case just keeps flipping. In 2016, you got the Dolce Vita tapes changing everything. In 2025, Donna finally convicted. It's just domino after domino after domino. And the last two have been last name of Adelson. More evidence could always surface. More evidence is likely in the hands of Georgia Kappelman right now. So if Wendy didn't know, I mean, how does someone live with that constant dread that tomorrow's headline, I mean, could drag them back into the fire, even if they're innocent? How this can't be easy. If Wendy didn't do anything with this, life has got to be insanely stressful right now.
Incredible, incredible. Anxiety is going to be off the chart. Yes, anxiety medication. I would hope getting some kind of therapy to, you know, to stay grounded if she really didn't know about any of this, how to make sense of the family story, and then how to rewrite your values, you know, raise your kids differently. It's got to be a rugged thing if she didn't know anything. I mean, it's going to be rugged if she knew. It's just another path if she didn't. And I mean, does she speak French? Can she move to France and change her name? And I mean, that's what I would be looking at, is how do I separate myself from this? I'd leave the country.
To go into hiding or
no,
legally
just,
do it?
Just, I'd legally do it. Yeah. I would just say I'm reinventing myself. I want a new identity. I don't want to carry this baggage with me. Yeah. I think that would be a healthy thing if she can do that legally. I mean, just sort of erase this. And
I agree. I mean, if she has nothing to do with this, you're never going to break away from this. No. Why the hell not?
Yeah,
why not?
Carry the stigma forever. And in Florida, I'm sure everybody recognizes her. I mean, around the U.S., we recognize her. People in Switzerland probably recognize her, but she would at least have a better shot at reauthoring her life somewhere else.
Kind of a pray love situation.
I like that. Yeah.
Kind of how Stella got her groove back.
Sometimes Stella does get her groove back.
A little waiting to exhale in a weird way. I mean, that's got to be just the unknown. The unknown of this whole thing, whether you are involved or not involved, that would be the worst part of this. And just knowing that other shoe could drop at any point in time. Mm-hmm. Whether you did it or not, that's really where she's sitting right now, because there's just a lot that's out there. Fascinating breakdown of it. As obviously we've said, Wendy has not been charged with anything. She is innocent. It's all speculation. It's all allegation. It's all this. It's all that. And we'll see where it all plays out. But we'll definitely keep watching it right here. Let me know your thoughts in the comment section on YouTube, if that's where you're watching us. If not, search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi to find us there, or search it wherever you get podcasts. You don't miss any of our coverage of this and the many cases we cover for you right here. Siobhan, thank you for being here. Her book, Nightbird, that's the new memoir. It's very good. And also The Minds of Mass Killers. You can get those wherever books are sold. For Stacy, for Todd, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
There we go.
Are you someone who watches every true crime documentary the day that it releases and then find yourself always wanting to know more, Googling the timelines, red flags, and then falling into the social media rabbit hole? Well, I'm here to do all of that for you, bringing the facts, theories, and details that no one else is covering on my hit true crime podcast, Serialistly with Annie Elise. Whether it's everything with the Idaho 4 case now that the documents are unsealed, or shocking cases you've never heard of, packed with love triangles, cults, and twists you won't see coming. With over 1 million downloads a week, I break it down for you just like your best friend would. Serialistly with Annie Elise. New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday wherever you get your podcasts.